D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really? Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah, boy!
Diaz and B-Boys. Uh-huh. Saints. Diaz and B-Boys. I love this podcast.
All right. We're doing a Sunday. We had to get to it. There's stuff to talk about. All right. So we missed a couple. I just kind of felt I have a project going on right now, and I just kind of felt like there wasn't a whole bunch of news. And sometimes I feel like when we get to talking about stuff, maybe it's because Lil Dice called us and said we were beating a dead horse all the time. So,
yeah, maybe
and,
so.
But, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, let's take every other week off until there's some news. This week, there's all kind of news. So all kinds of stuff to talk about. We got Bird news to talk about. Brandon Cooks. I mean, lots of stuff to talk about.
Who's he?
He's a guy. He plays for the Saints.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. And let me tell you, I'm not the only one who's noticed that we missed a couple of, you know, I mean, we're gone every other week until things picked up, you know. I got to get to this because I don't know if y'all heard this. I know you haven't heard it, but it's pretty funny. Hold on.
Hey, this is William Coy. I have a complaint for the esteemed and award-winning BS and Beer crew. I rely on those podcasts during my workouts to keep my mind sharp and active while I'm working out. And you have not been posting them on a timely basis. So without my podcast, I cannot get in shape. Without getting in shape, I cannot have relations with my wife. I get cranky. When I get cranky, I can't work out. You see, guys, it's a vicious cycle. So since it's fashionable to protest these days, I am protesting by refusing to shower or work out until agree to post those podcasts every Monday by 10 a.m. So unless you want a cranky and out of shape, stupid smelling person sitting at the SEC, you will succumb to my demand.
Uh-oh.
So let me close this by quoting the wise and sometimes attitudinal prophet Heath Elsonson. I got
nothing. I mean, dude, is
Gary,
he like,
Gary, you're going to keep on getting nothing, man, if you're not going to shower.
Yeah, I mean, Susan
wife
will
ain't
not
put up with that. No,
there's only so long Susan's going to put up with that. And that's good stuff, Gary. And I can only see him back there like, you know, like the doctor, you know, the crazy doctor. My demands are met. So, all right, good stuff
We'll get on that, Gary.
Yeah, I told him. And what's funny is, what do you call himself? Clay something another.
William Clay.
Like, yeah,
William
Clay. And I don't know if that has. He'll probably explain to me how that was funny and I didn't get it.
you want me to explain it to you?
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, go ahead.
The owner of the Detroit Lions is William Clay Ford.
Okay. Oh, and he's a huge Lions fan.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that's why we keep you around. Yeah, everybody has their role, right? So anyway, he put the smackdown on us and told us to get on it. But anyway, let's get this dog and pony show started.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
That's so stupid. Corporation Incorporated, corporate. All right, we like it though. So where do we start? Bird. I think we start.
Bird
to me,
is the word.
This wasn't a surprise. I heard, there were people who were questioning that decision like the Saints lost their mind.
Yeah.
Man, he had He played well at the end of the season. So that playing, okay, he's been here for three years, right?
Yeah,
two years.
And three quarters years into it, he played pretty well.
Yeah,
for the
last
few games.
Man, he had like three games at the end of the season where he played solid ball.
Yeah,
and we're stupid for not paying him. What would it be? Somewhere around $11 million next season.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe I have no reason to believe this, but I think that he may have played well enough because from what I see, it doesn't look like the safety free agent market's very good. So, very strong. So, I think they probably went to him and said, hey, take a pay cut, you know, get him around, I don't know, $4 million maybe. To me, that's what I would think would be reasonable.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then, you know, we can keep you around and he could, be part of that three safety rotation.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
And
this is what
said,
the guy saying no?
Yeah.
Does he think that he, maybe his agent realizes it's a weak free agent
market.
Right. So, and the other thing that I wanted to point out is that the fans that I'm listening to, or actually reading, they're talking about, well, now that he's gone, they're talking safety. And it wasn't just like, listen, there's always the one guy, right? The one guy posts something that's just silly. But they're posting now safety at 11. And I'm like, okay, unless you've already given up on Bell. And they're like, yeah, but we use this three safety set. I would argue that the reason we use three safeties is because we don't have a linebacker that can cover.
Well,
thank you.
So if you don't have a linebacker, you say, okay, who's the next best guy? Okay, so what they were doing is they were putting Vaccaro basically at a strong or weak side linebacker position, putting him at the wheel.
Right.
And you were kind of forced into the three safety set. Not that I'm not saying that, hey, it's something that we have done over the years, and I'm not saying it's a bad defense if you have the talented enough safeties. But the reason we're there is not because that's the defense that we find to be most effective. It's because we don't have a linebacker that can cover, I shouldn't say none, but we don't have enough linebackers that can play on three downs.
Right.
So you got Vaccaro in there a lot. So I don't think that you get rid of Bird and all of a sudden linebacker's not an important position anymore. It's draft a safety in the first round. I'm just like, there's just no way you would have then two first round draft picks and a second round draft pick at safety.
Right.
Just nothing about that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. Is it a matter of the Saints are forced into it? Is it a matter of they really like that defense? I'm going to have to assume it's the hand has been forced. We've had multiple defensive coordinators that they've spent time running that at. And, what's the chances that multiple guys like running a three safety set is their preferred,
I feel
set. So anyway, I think that was a strength that the Saints had as opposed to a weakness that they've had at linebacker, and that's the way. But I can't see taking a safety at 11.
I mean, whether it's something they chose to do, I think it's they chose to do it because they look at the team and they say, okay, I think this is our strongest alignment. I don't think it's because, no, we don't want linebackers. Let's just keep those safeties. Matter of fact, we can get rid of a guy and invest another first round in the safety. I don't believe it. So, Tomas, your thoughts?
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Now, look, I agree in part with what both of you said. I think it was a question of putting the best players that we have on the field. He had, six cornerbacks gone during the season. So you're running people that you got off the street at cornerback. You're running two guys at linebacker who you picked up to play on your special teams unit. Now they're starting. And did a reputable job, okay, but not, So you're putting the best 11 guys you have on the field. And that's why we have the three safety. Now, I'm not saying it's not a good defense. It's a good defense.
Sure.
That's all well and good. Now, what do we need? Well, may I remind people that there are two other safeties that were injured as well during last season that will be coming back for this season. So even without Bird, you have four safeties, plus they're going to re-sign Sterling Moore, who when he was with the Patriots played safety. So you got a guy who can play corner and safety. So you got five safeties back there. No, we're not wasting an 11th round pick on safety. I still go back and believe that I've kind of changed what I like simply because of what I saw at the Combine and some other things that I've read. And, of course, Little Dice is ragging on me because of who I chose, and he disagreed anyway, and I'm changing. But in any case, we need a defensive line, an edge rusher. We need linebacker like crazy, and we need defensive back. Those are the three positions we need on a defense. You know, we don't need defensive tackle. Again, I hear a whole bunch of people, oh, we need defensive tackle. We don't need a defensive tackle, okay? And we don't need a safety. So to me, if you're looking at defense, those are the three positions you're looking to fill. So, you know, I'm sorry. I've seen the same thing. A bunch of people, oh, we need safety. These are people who really don't know, okay? They read somebody on...
They think they know.
Well, they read somebody
they really
on Twitter.
Know.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, exactly right. You think you know.
You think you know. They right. think they know, but they really don't know.
Exactly. So they read somebody on Twitter and thought, oh, or they listened to somebody on NFL Network or ESPN and think now they, you know.
Who really don't know.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Pardon the interruption, but this is what the Saints should pick. You know, a safety.
All the puns. Yeah. So, Bird, I think one of the other questions about him was cut him now, cut him June.
June 1st.
Or. Obviously, and I think some people may not realize there is a designation where you can designate, if I'm not mistaken, one player. I'm not sure if they've changed it in the more recent years into more than one player. But you can designate a guy now, June 1st, cut him today, and designate him June 1st. And they did that for the veterans so that the veterans, because if you're going to cut you on June 1st, the veteran's sitting there, and right. he can't be part of that big free agent frenzy
right.
and make his money. So he gets cut June 1st, and he's pretty much – relegated right. to just
because
some...
Lord knows we owed Bird a solid at this point.
Yeah, well, you know that's the thing.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
Okay, so based on pure speculation that they went to him and asked him for a cut,
right?
And he's like, nah.
No.
And so like, well, yeah. then let me tell you what, buddy, we're gonna go ahead and cut you now so you can get back in there yeah. and sign with the Falcons or something.
Yeah,
and,
man, we feel bad for you. Yeah, we need to get you. You know, I would have went to NFL and said, look. How long can I possibly wait before I tell him what we're doing?
Right. And you know, we with the way that and I know I'm going to get some pushback on this, but the way that NFL contracts are structured, whether you get $7 million for cutting him now or $3 million for cutting him now or $7 million for cutting him June 1st, if you're going to use that money to sign another guy, you can structure it in a way where you right, say, look, right, your first year we only going to give you $2 million, and then the second year we're going to give you $12 million. To offset the money we didn't give you in the first year. One way or another, they can structure the contract. We've done it a million times when we didn't have the money. Now we have the money.
Right.
We can just structure it in a way where whether we cut him now and designate him June 1st or not, we can still utilize that money because it's coming off the books next year.
Right.
This year, Captain speaking. We're cruising at an altitude about 35,000 feet and be reaching Louis Armstrong, New Orleans International Airport about 2100 local time. Here at BS&B Airlines, we realize you have other options and we want to thank you for joining us today. So please sit back, relax, and again, thank you for flying BS&B Airlines.
So we talking a little bit about linebackers just before we hit the record button.
Yeah.
And Riley came up. Yeah. The linebacker who didn't start to his senior year, right?
Was it senior year or junior? I don't know.
Okay. Well, I don't remember
it was
him
junior, but go ahead.
I didn't remember him last year very much, and you know I'm a casual LSU fan, but
no, because Beckwith got all the press. That's why.
Maybe, yeah. and but having said that, I know that this year was we were short on linebackers at LSU, and the reason I'm bringing this up is not so much to talk LSU, as it is. He's another guy that is under the radar, and based on the history last several years of LSU linebackers, highly talented, you know, 4 or 5 star guys that didn't do much at LSU, and then all of a sudden get drafted, the kid from Atlanta, the kid from
Jones,
and the kid from Tampa Bay was a LSU player. He started their starting middle linebacker.
Alexander.
Yeah, you talking about guys who were like high recruits, went to LSU.
Mentor, who's a free agent this year, is another guy that
he's on my list of free agents. Yeah. So
and now I wouldn't be surprised at all that somehow or another LSU tends to recruit all these, you know, great athletes, and I mean I'm not saying they don't develop them because they have good.
So they become
defense,
Penn State of the South.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so.
You know,
but
linebacker, U of the South.
Yeah. But the fact is, these guys were you know not highly talented. They most of them seem to be a little undersized, and that's why they slip. I mean, I'm think that might be why they slip because they weigh like 228 pounds, you know, and they get to the pros, and next thing you know, they had a 232 pound starting middle linebacker and playing extremely well. So, you know, he's going to be a guy that all of a sudden I'm like, you know, maybe we can get our starting middle linebacker in the fourth round, out of LSU that people thought wouldn't be, but ended up. Because man, the game that I remember him is that LSU Alabama game. He was a beast, man. I mean, he was a beast in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, can you get that kind of production out of him? I don't know, but Saints
need
linebackers.
He had a hell
of a year.
He really blossomed under Aranda.
Aranda's tutelage.
It started the tutelage. Yeah.
All right. So now we move on to what I find to be the most intriguing news that's come out of Saints camp than last year. But here's the problem. Every year it seems like we have some kind of major distraction, and Brandon Cooks is apparently, based on what I've read, what I've heard, trying to force his way out of New Orleans. Hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Tomas, I know you biting at the bit to let's hear your thoughts, man.
Like the sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Yeah, it's some drama.
Well, I hear a lot of stuff about different people saying things. Here's what I believe. Cooks was not happy that he was not the number one receiver. Michael Thomas came in and balled out, and so he really stepped up and was the favorite. Let's face it. So midseason, what happens? Cooks complaining, doesn't like being used as a decoy, blah, 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 blah. At about the same time, he hires a new agent. Now, this is typical of agents. Well, you know what? We're going to float out there that, you know, there are other teams that are happy to have you. Now, it just so happens, who is the agent for the quarterback at Philadelphia? Who is the agent for the quarterback at Tennessee? Well, it happens to be the same guy who's the agent now for Brandon Cooks, which is why those two teams came forward up. Now, the newest team that come forward was the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Now, let's think about how we got Cooks. We moved up in the draft to get Cooks, which means we gave up another choice. So we gave a 1 and a 3 to get Cooks at the point that we did. So at the very least, we want a 1 and a 3 in return. I think that's fine. And here's what I have to say. If Cooks wants out, now I know people are going to be not upset, happy with me, but it's the way it is. Cooks wants out, goodbye. Adios. You know, I'm fine with it. We'll find somebody else. If you think there's a better quarterback to get you the ball than Drew Brees,
right,
you go right ahead. You think Mariota's going to get you the ball or Wentz going to get the ball, you go right ahead and see how that turns out. Okay? And I'm fine with that. And we'll pick up a 1 and a 3, and I'm good with that, and we'll pick somebody else up. Now, I'm not taking number one at the 32nd position.
Right.
That's not going to do it for me.
Right.
Okay? And you know, I don't blame Belichick for saying, hey, we'll give you a 32, you know?
Yeah.
But the Tennessee Titans have 2 number 1s and 2 number 3s. So it would be no sweat for them to give up a 1 and a 3.
Right.
So, again, I think, first of all, the Saints don't really want to part with them. I don't believe that the coaching staff wants to really part with them. But, again, business is business. And if somebody's willing to make them an offer, hey, we're going to give you a 1 and a 3 and a player, goodbye. Right. Adios, because guess what? Michael Thomas coming in here, can't catch Mike, bang up job. My boy Sneed, bang up job. And now maybe, just maybe, it's time for Dave's boy to step it up.
See, just when I'm trying to, I'm focused, I got my little list here of all the pros and cons. I'm
ready to
dig into it. You know, what you think? Maybe they're gonna bring back he's ready to get him a shot.
There you go. Maybe he comes back. He knows the system. You know,
yeah.
Or maybe your boy won a day.
Won a day.
So okay. So here's
that's Coleman.
Here's my
know,
thoughts. Right. I would like to keep Cooks, but here are some of the things that made me not so disappointed when I started hearing. Well, first when I heard he wanted out, I was like, eh. But then when I started hearing that it's a viable chance that we're going to get a first-round draft pick for him. So I started looking at it, and I say, okay, not that relegated, but he is now filling the speed role. He's the vertical guy.
Right.
I believe that he has the skill set of a number one receiver. It's just that he's a small guy. And what I mean by that is because Michael Thomas took the role of the guy that's going to get the dirty work and he's going to get a lot of the balls – now, all of a sudden, you look at him and say, now Cooks is a vertical guy. And I think this is the reason why he wants out. But he's a short guy. So a lot of times that vertical guy, you want him to be a little bit taller, especially because Breeze, whether y'all want to turn it to another argument or not, he does not have a cannon for an arm. His whole game is predicated on timing. So when he puts a ball out there, he wants a guy that he can get up, get the ball, high point the ball, take it from another guy, a physical guy. I believe that we could replace Cook's role using less resources, meaning hypothetically, if we can get a first, and I don't really think that we're going to get a first and third out of them. For a short period of time, a long time ago, I sold cars. And my guy had taught me, whenever they come and say, well, I just put a new engine in there. And what you're supposed to respond to is, well, you couldn't have sold it without an engine. So my point is just because we got Cooks and we had to give up all this for him doesn't mean that that's his value. That no. Just at the time is like, hey, in order for us to get the guy we want, we got to move up. I'd love it if we could get a first and third. I'm thinking that more than likely it's based on what I read that we're going to get a first and I'm going to be happy about that. Maybe we can squeeze a player, whatever. But if we can then in the third round get a guy, and this is all hypothetical, of course, get us a guy that's a speed guy that's, you know, 6'2", 6'3", Meacham mold, you know, again, just can run vertical routes. You don't have to have a Cooks in our offense to be successful. Now, what Cooks does bring to you is he can run the whole route tree. So just because he's the vertical guy, he has great hands, he can do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, but the question would be, do you need that? So hypothetically, if we could get a guy in the third round or a free agent that's fast and has some good high to be able to high points and balls and be that guy for Breeze and run vertical routes and clear the field, and then in return we take that first round and turn it to a good defensive guy that we need, I don't know if that's a bad thing. I can see that.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, if you say, well, we're gonna get a third for him or a second, then I wouldn't feel the same way.
Right.
But if we can turn Cooks into a pass rusher or a linebacker that we need and replace Cooks, maybe not the full skill set, I would almost guarantee not the full skill set, but in a second or third round or a free agent, we can go out and get a guy that can clear the field, you know, just a burner that can high point a ball, a bigger body, then I don't know if that wouldn't improve our team.
Right.
So, and not to mention, one last thing is, we're at a point now where some team can get him and they have 2 years left.
Oh, yeah.
And that adds to his value. 2 years, yeah. a special player, and as soon as I said that, but here's the thing also for our team. Can't return punts. He's not very good at fielding punts. He's not a kickoff returner, and that's what I thought when they moved up to get him.
He's not a special teams player at all.
We're going to get a guy that can return punts, kickoffs. Nope. He can do some of those little jet sweeps. He's a good receiver. He got good hand. But what we have is a speed guy who's a bit mechanical. Right. Now, he's a big play guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take from him. But what I'm saying is I think his role in the offense can be replaced with less value.
Right.
So,
we always talk about this. Cooks is exactly the kind of guy that you generally need to have on your team to win. He's a guy on a rookie contract who's producing.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And it's a shame that we get into a situation we finally have at least one of those guys that we can point at. To Cooks, I would say the Saints have tried to play him in
multiple
other
roles.
They've jet sweeps, short passes.
Punt return.
Quite frankly, you weren't very effective, Brandon. You know, just keep that in mind. He wasn't very effective in those roles, okay? I agree with you about just because the Saints gave up a first and a third wouldn't necessarily mean that they could expect to get a first and a third back. However, what is he, 23 years old, yeah, I think? Guy's still only 23 years old.
There's a lot of value there.
But here's the thing. He was a bona fide first-round pick, and in the 3 years that he's been here, he's proven that he was a bona fide first-round pick. So I would say that now, not based on solely, we gave up a first and a third to move up and get him, so that's what we want. He's a first-round pick, and he's proven it. A lot of times, especially with wide receivers, first-round picks, and if 3 years later, maybe, you know, they've proven something. This guy's
– he was effective his rookie year.
He was effective. In 3 years, he's had 2,000-yard seasons, and the first one ended in injury. So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
So you think that his value is a first and a third?
I think it's a first and something. I'm not necessarily stick to the third. I don't know. Maybe it's a player. I don't know if maybe, you know.
See, I don't disagree with you, and I want to say that. I'm just saying that based on what I've seen, it seems like the NFL values draft picks more than they value production.
Right.
I mean, it seems like I've seen some really good players go for a third-round pick. You know, and but with Brandon, the things that he does bring to the table, he's young. I mean, the guy is so young. He has 2 years left on his
contract.
He's
younger than some of the receivers that are coming out in the draft this year.
Right.
Yeah.
And then three, he's proven it. He's proven on the field that he's a super productive guy. And quite frankly, again, I know that people don't like hearing this. Breeze, his strength is not the vertical game. We always try to compare him to Brown from Pittsburgh.
Well,
the difference between them two is that they have a quarterback that runs around, shrugs off tacklers, and it just launches a ball 60 yards, 70 yards downfield to a guy who's fast. Nobody can hang with him that long.
Yeah.
Breeze doesn't have that skill set. Now, he has other skill sets. Now, I feel like I got to defend my comments. He has other skill sets that makes him better, but that's just simply not one of his skills. And that's just a howitzer for an arm that can throw the ball 70 yards from, you know, like Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's just not what he can do.
One of the problems that Cooks has had is getting off of the line of scrimmage.
That I have heard.
And so we've seen when he can do that and get around a guy, and Breeze throws that little floater right over the top of the and he takes it and runs another 70 yards with it for a touchdown. Our problem is he can't get around that enough at a time.
Consistently.
And like you said, once he's 60 yards down the field already, Breeze is not Roethlisberger.
Right. And that's – so the reason I brought that up was – on another team with a guy who, and I keep clarifying this before I have some hate mail come in, is he could go to a team while the quarterback's not as skilled. That strength for Brandon Cooks would be magnified by a quarterback who could just chunk the ball 70 yards off the back, you know, off his back foot. So that would bring out something in Brandon, and that's why earlier I was mentioning having a bigger receiver on the edge, maybe not quite as fast as Brandon, is more of what Breeze is designed to do. Is a big guy that he can throw that back shoulder, he can get it up there down the field and out jump the guy, as opposed to Brandon Cooks. You kind of, you know, Brandon has to get off the line, Breeze has to put it right on the spot and very quickly, because he can't get 70 yards down the field. He can only get about 45 before now
assuming it is being driven by Cooks' side. We don't know that for sure, I guess, you know, but if we assume, I think if I'm Brandon Cooks.
The Russians told me so, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself, I've had 3 good years here already. I'm in the top offense year in and year out. I'm with one of the top offensive minds, Sean Payton. I'm with Drew Brees. We'll figure it out. I'm not going to sit around and be bitching about it. I didn't get enough ball. We're going to figure this out. You know what I'm saying?
It's amazing, these kids and the way they think sometimes, because I just – I wonder if he doesn't think, because this is one of the elements that I heard about, is that he thinks that he's going to force his way out and get a new contract. And I don't think that any team that trades for him, I don't think, okay, the benefit of giving a new contract, lock him in for 5 years. But the benefit of one of the strengths of acquiring him is you have 2 years left on a very affordable contract.
But that's another thing that I've read, and of course we don't know what all is, that he is exactly what he expects.
Well, it's interesting to hear that you gentlemen have finally come across to my side of the table.
That's scary.
Because, as I've said many times, the way that the NFL is designed today is that you have to build your team with the draft. You have to have those 4-year rookie contracts in there so that you can have the 3 or 4 stars you need in order to compete for playoffs and the championship. And this is exactly what we have with Cooks. He's got one more of his regular contract, and then he's got the fifth-year pickup. So you have 2 more years basically left, even though the fifth-year pickup will be expensive. But you have 2 more years left on his contract. So, from what I've heard, is that he is upset that he's just being used as a decoy. But even more so that Antonio Brown just got a new contract.
Huh.
It's worth a hell of a lot of money. And again, as you said, he's always compared to Antonio Brown.
Right.
So he's thinking, man, I'm working for chump change here. And, you know, well, I have news for you, buddy. You know, whatever team you go to is going to say, that's nice, but you know what? We're going to pay you that contract, you know, the one you got.
Yeah.
Now, at the fourth year level, if he produces for that team and they make it to the playoffs, I see no problem with him then at that point renegotiating with that team instead of having a fifth year option.
Well, they negotiate another contract. If I'm not mistaken, I think their league rules, I mean, I'm almost positive. I don't know all the details, but you can't renegotiate your rookie contract. That was a put in the CBA so that they
Well, that's
would
come
run up,
and I can't find that. I kind of looked for that because I thought the same thing. I was like, what's the purpose then of having a, you know, because they worked to have this between the union and the ownership. They worked to have a four-year contract for all rookies by draft pick. I mean, they had it figured out money-wise. So what would be the purpose of having that when this guy says, well, screw that, I want a new contract, right? I don't think so. And if I'm any other team, I don't know. I couldn't find a rule about it, but I have to think that there is a rule.
No, like I said, I don't know all the details, but there is, or else, I mean, just ask yourself, when's the last time you heard of a you know, a guy in his third year or fourth year or something, you know, that's played well? I mean, there's a lot of them out there, and they didn't go to camp because they want to renegotiate their contract. It just doesn't happen, and it's a league rule. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Our next break, we'll hit the internet, and we'll figure it out.
Find it. But I'm telling you right now that this is all being driven by the new agent. And, yeah, Wentz and Mariota have cannons for arms, and so they can get the ball down the field. But I'm telling you, they don't have that same offer. And my last thing is to say this. How ignorant do you have to be to listen to an agent that's telling you to get out?
Of New Orleans.
Of New Orleans. Now, I'm just asking this question. Who is closer to a playoff and possible Super Bowl? Tennessee, Philadelphia, or the Saints? Okay, you tell me which one of those three teams
it's
closer
arguable.
To the...
It's arguable, but I mean...
It's not arguable. You got Wentz. What did Wentz do? He started off like a house of fire last year and then petered out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what has Mariota done? Now, I like him, don't get me wrong. You know, but again, who do you have coaching? What offensive minds? Tennessee plays power ball. That's what Tennessee plays. So if he goes to the Titans... He's not going to be catching balls all the time.
Right.
I got news for him.
They're a power running team.
You know, they've got running backs and a big offensive line. That's what they want to play. You know? And I'm very sorry. Philadelphia is going to run the same offense that was running Kansas City. Same thing, because that's where Peterson came from. Where was that, Kansas City? Yeah, from Kansas City. He brought the kid that used to be at New Orleans with him, who's a backup quarterback at Kansas City.
Right. Well,
you know? Boy, so, I mean, that's Shane Daniels. You know, so they're going to run that. Which means, again, what is that? That's West Coast offense, dink and dink, you know, short passes.
And
that,
that's not Brandon Coleman's strength. Brandon Cook's strength.
Exactly. So, again, he can go to wherever he wants. If he listens to his agent, he's not going to get a renegotiated contract. His numbers will come down. Then when it is time to get a new contract, he won't get a big one because his numbers are down.
You know, one of the things that really, I know.
But go ahead and go. I'm fine with it.
I'm not going to say something profound here, but it really did hit me today when I was just reading. And I just thought about, if you really stop and think about everything that Breeze has accomplished and who he's accomplished it with, even Jimmy Graham has moved on to other teams, and Jimmy Graham has looked above average, I mean, you know, arguable, but he doesn't look like what he looked like in New Orleans. Anybody else? What's the kid, Stills, Kenny Stills?
Yeah, he's Miami.
You know, he went to Miami.
Yeah, he's available.
Yeah, matter of fact, I heard some rumors about that. I heard some rumors about that. But anyway, my point is, name a receiver who, before they came here or after they left.
Mitchell left for a big contract at San Diego.
And he's done squat. And I think we all knew that when he left. Yeah. Like, he's just not that good.
Yeah.
And so it really does
the system
say something about the system and about Breeze and what we do for receivers. Yeah. And also makes you realize that I'm sitting here talking about replacing Cooks. Isn't it funny how we have no linebackers and we're like, we got to do this, that, and the other. But spending a first-round draft pick on a receiver, I'm like, well, why?
Why?
You know, like, I'm like, I feel like we can go in a third or fourth. And the only difference is which guy would be ready to contribute this year or next year in that role. And that's the difference, is how many years will it take the Saints to develop a new receiver?
What was the name of the guy that we kept bringing back to the team just because he could burn down the field?
I remember. He was the one that got found on the airline highway, passed out in his car.
Yeah, exactly. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But they kept bringing him back, you know. Oh, we're going to give him another chance. Joe, we're going to give Joe another chance. I can't think of his name now.
I don't remember exactly. He's the one that made the defender from Tampa Bay flip over his back. And you remember that? He caught a long ball and he put on the brakes.
Yeah.
The guy tried to tackle
Morgan.
Morgan.
Yes,
right.
Joe Morgan. Joe Morgan. Right. That's right.
So, by the way, just the last couple of years, basically Cooks has averaged, what, about 81 receptions, 1,150 yards, and 8.5 touchdowns is just the decoy.
Well, he wasn't really a decoy last year. That didn't happen until Thomas got on the team. So, and I hate using the word decoy.
Last year he had almost the same exact numbers as he had in 2015.
Yeah, but he had developed another year, so he's better. So I mean, we all in agreement. We get our first plus a little line yop.
Again, one thing I forgot to say: many years ago, there was a coach that went to the Dallas Cowboys, and he drew up a chart based on what you should receive for what player.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Jimmy Johnson. And if you go look up that chart, you'll see on there that Brandon Cooks, based on yards, based on plays that he played in, so forth and so on, because I looked it up during the week, but now I don't have it with me, he's worth a first and a third rounder. Okay, so, and if anything, he might be worth a first, a third, and a player, because that's how much he contributes. But I'm going to say to you, again, that's how much he contributes in a Sean Payton, Drew Brees offense.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's not what he's going to contribute in a, you know.
Okay, so, okay, next question. So now, one of the things, Tennessee has the fifth pick in the draft. Okay, so would you accept trading the 11th up to the fifth for Cooks?
No.
No, okay, so then what would you say?
No.
Okay, so then, let's see, they also have.
Because there's no one at fifth that we can't get at 11th that we want.
Okay,
that's why I would say that.
They also have the 18th pick. So now, would you take swapping the 11th for the 5th and also getting the 18th pick?
So we get two number ones for our number one. So we still end up with 1-1 for Cooks.
Yeah, I think that's
1-1 and moving up 6 spots.
Again, I'm going to go back and say this. I wouldn't take it simply because of this. Who I think the Saints should pick would be available at 11, may even be available at 18. So moving the 5 doesn't really help you. Plus the fact that the top 10 have a different pay schedule than the ones after the top 10.
Right, right, right. So you
so money wise, again, as I tell my clients, you know, price for value, I don't see it at 5th over 11.
Okay, now you could potentially move up to 5 and then turn around and get 18 picks from Cleveland.
No, that's possible. Now, if we could do that, do a multi-team trade.
Yeah.
Man, okay, so I didn't realize when I was asking. As soon as I asked it, I realized that now that was a homer check. Because, so now you telling me.
Yes.
You give them Cooks, and you get the 5th pick in the draft and the 18th pick of the draft.
But you're giving up the 11th.
Yeah.
So what are you getting? You're getting one number one choice, either the 5th or the 18th, whichever one you want.
Yeah, but you're also moving up. And, I mean, while I respect your draft analysis, to go up from 11 to 5.
All right, then who will you pick? Go ahead.
Well, okay. See why you had to go and do that. You know I've been busy, man. You know I don't have that.
Yeah, man, come on. You're complicating it.
Yeah, now you're going to start maybe. But, I mean, I'll have that answer. Stay tuned next week, and I'll have that answer for you. I have that answer for you. But I think, look, there's no way I wouldn't take that. The 5th pick of the draft.
And who do you think is what is the number one need? We talked about this already. Okay. You said defensive end was your number one pick, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
All right. So defensive end, here, I'm going to help you out. Here the highest rated defensive end. I have him in there somewhere. All right, here you go. The highest rated defensive end, you got Garrett from Texas A&M. He won't be there at 5.
Okay.
You got Solomon Thomas from Stanford, who I don't like, but he won't be at number 5 either. You got Tim Williams from Alabama. He won't be at there at number 5 either.
Wait, so you're saying three of the top 5 picks are going to – top 4 picks are going to be defensive ends?
Yeah, these guys are going to go.
Oh, okay.
Because they're all these –
I can't argue with them because that don't sound right, but I've been working on this project y'all keep hearing me about. You know what? Most of our listeners – I'm opening up a Cajun restaurant.
Ooh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, bad shot. So I've been really busy with that.
I think is the sheriff from Boudreaux Parish going to be there at the grand opening?
You know what? He's going to be at the grand opening.
I thought so.
Yeah, so – so you telling me that three of the top 4 picks are going to be defensive ends?
Look, you're loaded down on defensive end, but you're loaded down, and there are a lot of teams who need defensive end who are at the top of the draft.
Everybody's pass rushers.
Okay. Miles Garrett, I mean, I'm thinking that Cleveland with the first pick might go ahead and pass on him and pick
a quarterback,
the kid from North Carolina. Maybe. Because it depends, again, on free agency. Because there are a couple of quarterbacks in free agency that they could say, you know, we can make do with this kid at free agent, at quarterback. I mean, look, they took the a nobody washed up piece of trash from Washington.
Oh, tell us how you really feel.
Well, he's worthless.
No good son of a...
Yeah.
You should hear, my wife knows that every time I say a certain thing about somebody, she goes, I know who you're talking about. You know, it's the former defensive lineman for the Giants who has a gap between his teeth.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And not to mention, did you hear Johnny Manziel got his agent?
Yeah.
Apparently teams are interested. Yeah. I'm like, are you serious?
Speaking of agents, they put stuff out there.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Now, don't be surprised if Manziel gets a look. I mean, somebody will look at him.
I've been thinking about hiring an agent and tell him that I'm thinking about getting back in the league. And I guess it wouldn't be back. And I'm thinking of getting in the league.
Especially if he comes back for a veteran minimum loaded down with incentives, which could never be met. Somebody will look at him and say, hey, you know, for a second string guy, you know, sitting on the bench behind somebody.
But, man, think of the distraction. I mean, unless he's really turned his life
around. Well, maybe he's turned his life around. Yeah. You never know.
No.
I want you to know I've matured a lot.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying. You know.
He's just out of money.
In my mid-40s, I've changed a lot, and I've matured, and I think teams are ready to give me a second look.
All right, yeah. I can see that.
There you go.
I can see that. I can see that right now.
All right,
now,
so me and
I'm ready to play shortstop for the Cubs, too. Okay, go ahead.
There you go.
At 61. But anyway, I'm thinking at fifth pick, you know, to me, the guy I like the best for the Saints is Derek Barnett from Tennessee.
That's kind of high for him.
And exactly right. Yeah. He'll be there at 11.
Right.
So by going to five, okay, so then I say, okay, well, let's go to defensive back. Well, again, there are a couple of guys I like on the defensive backfield, and I'm not quite finished analyzing them yet. I'm kind of done with the rush, pass rushers. But Sidney Jones from Washington has great time. Desmond King from Iowa, another good-looking kid. You know, so and Howard Wilson, Houston. Three guys right there. All three of those guys will be at 11 or later. None of those guys are going to be before 11.
Right.
So you have to tell, you know, if we needed a player that was absolutely necessary for us to achieve the next level, I'd say, okay, I would take it. But tell me who.
You know what? I
your logic. We're not going to replace the running back we have. We're not going to replace the quarterback we have. We're not going to replace the wide receiver. And we're not going to pick, if we let Cooks go, there's no wide receiver. And then you're going to go, man, whoo, good thing we can pick him at number five.
Right. And the kid, like the kid from Clemson. Another Mike Williams.
Yeah.
I think that he's a good prospect. I'm not suggesting we pick him, but he'll be there at 11. Maybe he won't. Maybe some team will jump up. But I don't think it's like, dang, how'd that happen? And if he's there at five, I don't know if he's
now. If you give me your 5 and your 18, and I give you my 11, and in addition to that, you give me a 3 next year, you know, or 2 next year. You don't have to give it to me this year, but if I get something in next year's draft as well, high, you know, maybe a 2, I would probably say, you know, then I might say okay, because then I would do the same thing that we were talking about. Then I'd look at another team and say, do you want number 5?
Right.
You know, because we were willing to give you – we'll stay with 18.
So basically you would want to restructure the trade differently because you don't see the value in 5. And I get that. But having said that –
I don't see the value in only one pick and moving to – right, like you said, the fifth position,
and
I don't
and
see
so
the value
that's
there.
Just the structure of the trade, because the fact of the matter, if you go to the chart, you know, moving up from –
not
11,
that chart's really in
no,
you know,
no, no, I get it.
Anymore,
I get it. But, you know, as a rule of thumb – like to move up, that is the value right there. Is probably the value might be a first and third round pick. So, but you're saying, hey, I wouldn't do that. I would rather say to them, I'll take 18, your third round pick, and your first next year. You know, that might be something that would be more.
Or like I say, you know, okay, if you give us 5, there are other teams out there that need a lot more than we do. So we'll take 5 and 18, we'll give you 11 and Cook. Okay, but now we put 5 on the market and see who wants 5.
Right, right. Move back to 12
or
13.
And then maybe get a, you know, somebody in the 20s. Okay, fine. Now we got an 18 and a 20, you know, and maybe then pick up a 3rd for next year along
no,
with your,
and that's,
I mean, you got, because the draft is the way that the NFL has structured football for the, you know, for the present. You know, and if you can load your team up with good players that'll come around in their second and third year of their contract.
That pipeline.
There you go. And we still have 2 or 3 more years of Breeze. So to me, the window is closing. Yeah, no doubt. But you got to start loading this team up for the future.
Yeah.
You know, and if Cooks doesn't want to be here, I don't want any more cancers on this team. We have a good, solid core of people who want to play with each other and want to go and achieve the goal. If Cooks doesn't want to be part of that, again, like you, it's not that he has all these strengths and only strengths. He's short. He's not big of muscularity or whatever. And like you said, he comes over the middle. A couple of, you know, safeties tattoo him a few times. That's going to be into the story.
Right.
I mean, or a big linebacker comes across and gets him when he's not even looking.
And that's a point that I'd made several weeks ago. And it doesn't mean, and I'm just going to reiterate this point, doesn't mean that Cook is not tough. But at the end of the day, he weighs 189 pounds.
Yeah. Physics.
And it's physics. There's only so many hits he could take. If you continue to play him in that role where he gets pounded by linebackers every time he catches the ball, then he's going to break down. It's only a matter of time.
Yep.
So that's why having him on outside, playing him in the role where he's clearing out a lot of stuff. And I hate to say this, he's not a decoy. He's just a guy that clears out. He runs a lot of deep routes. He runs, you know, and you let the other guys do the dirty work.
Well, and I go back to what I said earlier in the season. You know, when he first complained. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Run every route you want. You say he knows all the route trees? Fine. Go ahead and run every route. Because I tell you that if Drew Brees looks and he's open, he's going to fling him the ball. Now, he didn't fling him the ball. Why? Because he's not open, like he said. Well, he has a hard time getting off the line. So, you know, 1-2-3 hut. Drew looks over there and goes, no, he didn't get off the line. Boom, I'm going someplace else.
Right.
You know, so because it's timing. It's about, you know, getting the ball out, you know.
I think the one thing that any receiver has to accept, whether they want to or not, if they're not being productive, and then now listen to what I'm saying, it's not that he's not productive, but if you're not producing, it's not because of something the rest of the team is failing at. It's something that he's not doing. Because believe me, Brees would have gone to him on every play, just like he did with Jimmy Graham if he was open. Brees did not just decide, nah, I'm not going to throw it to Cooks. Because, you know, everything that we've heard, even up to, you know, the recent issue, is he's a hard worker. So there's nothing that would suggest that the Saints were intentionally not trying to feed him the ball. I think that what it boils down to is, look, you got a guy that you can throw the ball to. He can break a tackle. He can pick up another 5 or 6 yards on a first down. He's a bigger target. Mm-hmm. Something Brees throughout his career has always relied on is a bigger target.
Antonio Gates, Marcus Colston, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. Yeah. Just down the line, it's always been good-sized guys. And now you have Cooks, and he makes big plays and stuff. But he's not going to get fed the ball in the same way.
Well, in fact, the game after he complained, the Saints tried to force the ball to him to disastrous effect, quite frankly. I mean,
you know what? I forgot about that. Yeah. I forgot about that game. You're right. I mean, it was interceptions.
He couldn't catch the ball. It was too tightly covered.
And let's also admit, before we get too carried away beating him up, that was not a normal game for him. But the point is that there's an example of, listen, we're going to go to you, and it negatively affected the whole offense.
Yes, because Drew Brees forced the ball.
Right.
When he looked at him, he said, well, he might catch it, instead of saying, well, he might, but this guy got a better chance.
Right.
He didn't do that. It
didn't work out very well. So anyway, it looks like we have some interest, and it'll be something very interesting to follow.
And don't forget that if you disagree with what we had to say, we have a hotline.
Oh, the hotline. What's the number there, Tomas?
504.
504, that's right.
Mm-mm-mm.
3-3-6-9.
I know the last four numbers.
383-363.
I know the last one's a 3-3-6-9.
All right, let me get this squared away for y'all.
Go ahead.
It's 504.
Yes.
Get your pens out.
Yeah. Come on.
504-383-3369.
There you go.
Matter of fact, we got a bunch of hotline calls from Lil Dice because we missed the show. He called us and it didn't get on the air. And so we're going to put those up right after we get back from
All right. Sounds good.
Ah, monsieur, I talked to you about the BS and beer. It's all very natural, no? Ah, sure, Mr. Internet Man. You listen to other podcasts, but not so good, no? Enough. You listen to BS and Beer. Or a bon ton all over your face.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, we're watching a little bit of the, I guess it's the reruns or the replays. On the NFL Combine. Network of the Combine.
Yeah.
Checking out some guys, you know, we're working while we're putting a podcast out to increase our knowledge to share with you. I tell you what, let's hit up Lil Dice and see what he got to say. You know, we're going to have to soon here, we're going to have to give him the correspondent label or something.
Yeah.
You know, Isn't this enough? He wants some money already?
I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah, no, well, that's his, I guess we don't have to pay him now since he's
going to be a correspondent. He can't be on a paycheck.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. As far as secondary goes, I think Bird is going to be gone. The Saints will end up drafting cornerback. I'm probably picking one up in free agency, and also a safety. They'll end up drafting a safety. So we're going to have young safeties. We're probably going to have a free agent cornerback come in to start. So that's my thoughts about the secondary.
All right, Lil Dice. You gave us some calls, and we did every other week the last month, and it's a little dated, but I need to put them on record so that when whatever happens, we can either give them some accolades or give them a little hell about it. Yeah. So he thinks Bird's gone. Man, that's groundbreaking stuff there, buddy. No, okay. Yeah. So that call might have been a week ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's get him out. We got another call from him real quick.
Hey. Also, I would like to see Fairley back in New Orleans. We need to re-sign him. I would love to see Sterling Moore back, and also go ahead and re-sign Tim Hightower. Anybody else that we get in free agency, as long as they're a cheap guy, not a big splash free agent signing, I'm on board with it.
All right, so to touch on that real quick, I would like to see Fairley back.
Not happen.
But the chances are pretty slim, and if I really give it some thought, I like Fairley. I like the way he played. I like that he's disruptive. But if you really think about it, with Rankins in the building.
And Onyemata.
That money.
And Davison.
That money would be better spent somewhere else.
Yes.
You know, so.
I think it's too high.
I don't think we have the luxury, especially yeah, if it's a huge contract.
All these other linemen that are out there, tackles out there getting contracts already, you know, in line with the teams that they were with, over 10 mil a year. We're not going to spend over 10 mil a year, that position.
Right. I was thinking, hopefully.
And if he wants to play I'm happy for him. I'm happy we got him for, what was it, 1.8, I think, for the year. Mm. So I'm happy. He played great for us. And it was a great, again, price-to-value ratio there. Fantastic.
Yep. Mm.
But he's not going to cut us a home deal, and we're not paying over $10 million. So thanks for the memories.
Best of luck to him. And you know, another guy, though, he mentioned Sterling Moore. That's a guy.
He's going to resign.
Hightower, I hope. I'm sure they will resign. I hope they don't make it through training camp. I hope that we've upgraded the position enough.
We'll see what Lasko has now that if he's not in.
Yeah, I like Lasko, man. Yeah,
he's my guy. I was holding from last year, so I'm gonna stay with him.
All right. So one last call from Lil Dice to see what he got going on.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. I'm really hoping with the hiring of Mike Nolan that the Saints ask him these questions. Can you work with Stephon Anthony? Is it going to work out? With Stephon Anthony, can he be a good player? Because whenever teams normally hire a head coach and they have a quarterback that's on the rocks, that's what you ask them. And you don't hire that guy unless they can bring him in. I mean, unless you can make that guy a star in the league. So hopefully they did the same thing with Stephon Anthony and Mike Nolan.
All right, so you guys, listen, the hotline, give us a call. Let's get some more people on board here.
504-383-3369.
Either that call was like from a month ago, but we already spent like an entire show talking about that. So I
would just say, look,
more.
You know, as far as I know, science hasn't figured out yet how to do brain transplants. So bringing in Dick Nolan is not going to fix Stephon Anthony's issue. But go ahead.
You know, listen. I
hate to be so harsh, but, you know.
Especially not bringing in Dick Nolan. That really won't help the situation.
Did I say Dick Nolan?
We'll have to see what Mike Nolan can
do. My bad. Swiss cheese defense. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so now we see where that brain transplant.
Yeah, that's right. I burnt mine up already.
That's how they do you right there. I'm still holding out hope. I don't know what it is, but having said that, I just saw that Bucky Brooks on the ticker.
Oh,
he had the kid from Alabama, Foster, going at like in the mid-20s. I don't know if that's dropping because of the shoulder injury or because of his
shoulder injury.
Because he went off on some medical person at the hospital during the combine. They sent him home.
Yeah.
He said before he got there that he was not going to have any medical exams on his shoulders until they were healed. And his people said that they'd be more than happy to provide all of the x-rays and MRIs from the doctors who performed the procedures on his shoulders, and it's nothing that other players in the NFL haven't had because they use their shoulders so much that they have that issue, okay? But the doctors were insistent, or a particular doctor was insistent. This is the story that I got in reading all the
Yeah, I didn't get any details like that.
Yeah, and this doctor was insistent, and they got into a yelling match. And it may have been more than that, but that's the part I got. And at that point, he was asked to leave. But to me, that wasn't the red flag, because the other things that I read about Foster was that he wasn't doing too well in interviews. And so that, to me, was the red flag. I don't care if he yelled at the doctor or not. That doesn't make any difference to me at all.
Yeah, he's competitive.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know,
I'm not going to pull my pants down.
Exactly.
I'm not going to cough.
Exactly. But to me, the thing is that he wasn't doing well in the interviews.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing well in interviews, and
he
and
might have spent some time with Tim Williams before the interview.
There you go. You know,
sharing some of whatever he was on.
But you know, and Little Dice and I had gone back and forth because I still believe that if there was a really high quality linebacker at 11, I'd pick that first. But without Foster in there, with all these issues, you know, I've gotten off the linebacker first pick. But anyway, so you know, the Foster thing, you know, the kid did himself a disservice. Man, you know, he should have kept his cool and just said, "I said no, and that's it, end of deal." You know,
yeah,
and walked away.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, just laugh about it, put your shirt back on.
And if he's in the 20s, you know, well, then he'll end up in
pull your pants back up and walk out the room with dignity.
That's right. Here's a cigar for your trouble.
Give him his rubber gloves, eh?
Yeah.
What they give you, little napkins. Grab your handful of napkins, pull your pants out, and leave the room with some dignity.
That's right. Here's some wipes with some ridges to make sure you get it all out. Oh, man.
Oh,
we
God.
Have way too much fun on this show.
Walking down the hallway, squeaky, 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 squeaky. All right. So,
you're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Okay.
Control yourself.
Yeah, let's get together here. Okay, so free agency starts on Thursday.
Yeah.
At 4 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
So next show, we're gonna really be hitting the free agency hard. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. There's gonna be a lot of news.
Yeah.
So you got some things you want to go over?
Why don't we just quickly hear the ones that the Saints have that are gonna still be on, you know, have a chance to be on the team? Tim Hightower, Tavares Cadet, Bird's already cut. Coon.
No, they re-signed Coon.
They already signed him? Okay.
Yeah, re-signed him.
John Phillips, the tight end. Tony Hills, offensive line. Tim Lolito and Jerry Evans. Darryl Tapp, who said he expects to be back.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah. Nick Fairley, who I think is gone.
I expect to win the lottery.
Kruger,
too.
That if they bring him back, I'll personally shoot him. Mike Marty. Two unknowns at this point, that linebacker Jason Trusnik and Sam Barrington, Kyle Wilson, your favorite, Sterling Moore, we got over here, Roman Harper, who I don't think is coming back, he's retired, Jamarcus Sanford, and Shiloh Keough. Oh, one more, and Justin Drescher, the long snapper. I don't know, did they sign Drescher or not?
I don't know.
I don't think so. But there you have, that's what I have so far on the list of free agents. So we'll address ours, and then we'll look at some of the other ones that I think will be we should look at. So
next show. Is going to be a lot
So you guys need to bone up.
That bone up? I'm going to bone up. So anyway, I'm going to walk down the halls with dignity as I bone up.
Okay.
Anyway.
Bone up.
We're going to have a lot to talk about. Heath, any final thoughts?
No. I think we covered it.
Tomas?
I think Gary now can go take a shower.
Yeah,
Gary,
I got nothing.
Gary, go take your shower. It'll be posted before Monday. I mean, that's high expectations because we normally record the show on Monday nights. He's expecting us to have it posted, what did he say, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that.
Or 10 a.m. Yeah. No, 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, hey, we haven't even done it yet.
We'll be able to get, we'll help Susan, we'll hook her up this week.
Yeah.
So maybe hopefully Gary will get in the shower, take care of business.
Bone up, Gary.
Yeah, bone up.
There you go.
And then bone up.
There you go.
That's how they do you. Anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.